Amen. We are excited about presenting this to you this morning. And let me just read the preface to what we're singing about. It says, the United States truly is an exceptional nation. When considering the reasons for our prominence, power, and prosperity, and this is the writer talking, I believe it is primarily a result of the way our nation began. America was founded as a Christian nation. It began with the promise that Almighty God was the author of life, and he set forth laws and principles by which mankind could thrive and prosper. Thomas Jefferson wrote it like this, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Since its beginning, the citizens of this country have had the opportunity to enjoy what few in life will ever experience: true freedom, personal liberty, the opportunity to achieve, to better oneself, and to succeed. Tolerance for others' beliefs and religions was and still is a core belief of this Christian nation. It truly sets us apart from most. It is obvious to anyone paying attention that America is in trouble. It will take a miracle to reset this nation and put us once again on an upward path. I fear we have Christians have fallen into believing our hope is in a political party or a specific leader. But God is neither Republican, nor Democrat, nor independent. God is the holy and sovereign ruler of all that there is. We present to you today this musical entitled We Believe. We're here to tell you that we believe that we need to renew the call to the desperate need for a return of God and the need for life-changing revival in our land. I hope today when you leave today that you as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, will be called to action, renewed in your action, to get serious about your responsibility as light and salt on this earth. We present We Believe today because we want to remind you that God is still able to do the impossible and the miraculous. It's time to unashamedly declare that we believe the Word of God is true. We believe that there's hope for any person, any city, any country, and any nation. We believe the Lord can truly restore and heal our land. Please listen and worship as we present We Believe.
And there you cut out into the heart of America, cut to its very core, do you know what you will find? Freedom, liberty, justice, democracy, defender against tyranny, helper of the oppressed. Aren't you proud to be a citizen of these United States of America? It truly is an exceptional nation, a country that has been abundantly and richly blessed. It's no wonder that many of us well up with emotion and pride when we see the American flag, our symbol of freedom, as it waves majestically in the wind. It's why some of us can't help but stare when we see a soldier in uniform. They remind us of the sacrifice that continues to be made on our behalf and the price it cost for preserving the freedom we all enjoy. Yes, we are. We are proud to be called Americans. But there's a great host of us that are even more proud to be called Christians. For we believe that true freedom and liberty, justice and prosperity come from a sovereign God who gave us principles by which to govern our lives and to govern our society. It may seem a little strange to us today to combine a person's patriotism with Christianity, but not in the minds of our founding fathers. George Washington, our first president, said,
"It should be our highest glory to have the more distinguished character of Christian."
The father of our country felt comfortable intertwining American patriotism with Christianity. Although many modern historians would like to rewrite or alter America's past, there's overwhelming evidence that a majority of the founding fathers were believers in Jesus Christ. Of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 50 of them were regular church attenders, and 29 of them had seminary degrees. We need only to read the personal writings of these men to gain a clear understanding of the integral part the Bible played in our beginnings and the spiritual foundation upon which this great nation was built. Charles Carroll, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said,
"I am grateful to the Almighty God for the blessing through Jesus Christ, our Lord, He conferred upon my country."
Benjamin Rush, another signer who is known as the father of medicine, said,
"The gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rulers for just conduct in every situation of life."
Francis Hopkinson, another signer, who was one of the first federal judges appointed by George Washington. He was a church music director and a church organist and wrote America's first purely American hymnal. John Witherspoon, president of Princeton University and signer of the Declaration of Independence, said,
"I entreat you in the most earnest manner to believe in Jesus Christ, for there is no salvation in any other. If you're not reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, if you're not clothed with the spotless robe of His righteousness, you must forever perish."
These are the founders of this nation. Patrick Henry, the man who cried, "Give me liberty or give me death," said,
"It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too greatly that this nation was not founded by religionists, but rather by Christians. It was not founded on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ."
These great patriots, and many more like them, were statesmen, men of character and integrity. They possessed a great faith in God and in adhering to biblical principles for the betterment of all mankind. They affixed their names to the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundational document of our government. From this great foundation, they constructed the Constitution of the United States. These documents were the beginning of what would produce one of the greatest nations in all of history. But our greatness is not because of our might or our intellect. America is exceptional because we adopted certain principles from our beginning that God was able to bless. Our second president, John Adams, said,
"The general principles on which the fathers achieve independence are the general principles of Christianity."
Our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, said,
"The Bible is the rest which we prepare our trust in."
Did you know that the first Bible printed in the English language in America was printed with United States congressional approval? It happened in 1782.
In the records, it states this: the Holy Scriptures were to be printed for the use in our schools. For 320 years, the Bible was a part of public education. It has only been the last 50 years that the courts decided to remove the Bible from our public schools. Abraham Lincoln said,
"The philosophy in a schoolroom of one generation will be the philosophy of our government in the next."
Think about that. Somewhere along the way, we left the God of our fathers. Instead of following the biblical path of our founders, we trusted in our own wisdom, replacing the perfect, unchanging laws of God with laws of our own making. We, now as a nation, find ourselves morally bankrupt, financially ruined, and full of corruption. I wonder if we realize how dangerously close we are to losing the America that we love. Abraham Lincoln prophetically warned,
"America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedom, it will be because we destroyed ourselves."
But there is a remnant of believers across this nation who still believe that God can restore and rescue, and that God can still save, and that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. We can no longer sit around and complain about our political leaders. We must rise up and sound the alarm. From the church house to the White House, it's time to cry out to God on behalf of our nation and to ask Him to forgive us and to cleanse us and to heal our land. God can heal the soul of our nation. He can still change the hearts of men and women. There is hope for our children. With mercy and love, He calls out to us, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land."
There's a
we, the church, should leave our comfort zone. We've counted long enough on government to keep us strong. We are the fiber and the conscience that has built our land. The signs have shown us that the final judgment is at hand. There's judgment in the game, and there's only one solution. The conscience of our country is the church and not the state. Oh, there's judgment in the gate. Let us hear the words he spoke. 'Cause Jesus Christ is America's only hope. Our money says in God we trust, yet we can't pray in schools. Our golden rule has changed. He who has the gold makes the rules. But there's going to be a judgment day, not in the courts or halls, when the last shall be the first, and when the mighty falls. There's judgment in the gate, and there's only one solution. The conscience of our country is the church and not the state. Oh, there's judgment in the gate. Let us hear the words he spoke. 'Cause Jesus Christ is America's only hope. We, the church, should all arise and lead this generation. Of our country is the state and not our land. Oh, there's judgment in the gate. Let us hear the words he spoke. 'Cause Jesus Christ is America's only
majority of those responsible for the birth of this nation knew that Jesus Christ living in a person, in a city, in a nation is what truly gives life, liberty, purpose, and freedom.
It's not conservative or liberal, however they're defined. It's not about interpretation or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power or prestige. It's about a simple message and whether we believe. It's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. A word to suit our needs. We can justify sweet subtle lies that are wrapped in noble deeds. We can alter our convictions to adapt to social whims, but we cannot change the gospel or the truth contained within. It's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin.
For you, please, to stand with your heads bowed for just a moment. And for all our friends in the internet audience, in the radio audience, it's still the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the very beginning of his ministry, took a manuscript from the book of Isaiah. He read, "I've come to set at liberty those that are bound." He came to bring freedom. "The word shall set you free," the Bible said, "and he is the living word." He'll set you free from the power of sin. He'll set you free from the penalty of sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way to real freedom and real happiness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." If you want a full free life, you have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And I wonder today, here in the building, in the internet audience, the radio audience, has there ever been a time when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If not, right now is the time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And right now, where you are, in the building, in the internet audience, and listening to the radio, right now Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He'll give you peace. He'll give you rest. "He that cometh to me," he said, "I'll in no wise cast out." But you must come to Jesus. He said in the Gospel of John, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Will you receive him today? While we have our heads and our hearts bowed right now, in simple faith, will you receive him? Will you be one of those who said, of whom he said, "They receive me not"? But will you receive him? How do you receive him? The Bible said, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. If you believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again, if he paid your sin debt, the Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." A believing heart is a calling heart. Right now, will you call on him? Pray a simple prayer, something like this. "Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you bore my sin on Calvary's cross. I believe that you died and were buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. Come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me right now. Now, while we have our heads bowed here in the auditorium, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward this morning here around this altar. And if you'll come as a Christian and you know that you've not been where you ought to be or things in your life that ought not to be there, he said if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness that we might have real fellowship with him. I invite you to come and settle things with him. Perhaps you're a Christian here this morning and you have a special need or a special burden. I'd invite you to come. The one who loved us and died for us, the Bible said freely by him, he'll give us all things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. And if you'll come, bring your need, cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. And my dear friend, if you're here again and you do not know Jesus Christ, perhaps you've prayed the prayer, I'd sure love to know that you've received Christ. Or if you have further questions, we'd love to pray with you here around the altar. And so right now, let me give an invitation to invite you to join these many who are coming around this altar. And then let me give another extended invitation. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian, and your heart, like many of our hearts, are troubled about our land. The answer is in what the choir's presented this morning and the quote from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will pray, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. Let me invite you to come as well right now. Obey the Holy Spirit of God. And for our dear friends in the radio audience and internet audience, we'd love to hear from you. Call us here at the church, 919-894-4120. And if we can help you in any way, we want to do that. While these are coming around the altar, in a moment we'll have a prayer together. We just give you a moment right now to come. God, the Holy Spirit, speak in your heart. Thank you so much for coming today, for God speaking to your heart. We're blessed. I pray the Holy Ghost of God right now will heal. I pray he'll touch every need of every heart. If you're here around the altar and you're praying, and you say, Brother Billy, I'm not a Christian. I wish somebody would pray with me right now. Would you just slip your hand up? I'd be glad to have somebody to come pray with you. If you need somebody here as a Christian and you say, Brother Billy, I wish somebody would pray with me and help me pray this morning, would you raise your hand around the altar this morning? I want to pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, first of all, for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and died for us. Lord, please convict every heart. Don't leave a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. Don't let them leave here today lost. I pray, our Father, that every person who's heard the music presented and the scriptures quoted and the gospel presented, I pray this morning they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please bring them under conviction that they might be saved. I thank you for the many Christians who bowed around this altar. Many, our Father, coming to come closer to you. Many coming with burdens and cares. God, I'm glad that you know every need, and God, you're able. I thank you for the choir, for Brother Brad this morning. Thank you for the presentation. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, you'd be honored. Bless these friends here, and God will thank you. While we end prayer, attitude of prayer, if you've come, you've done what God wanted you to do, if you want to slip by your seat, you're welcome to do that.
Amen.
Amen. I, first of all, before we go any further, I want you this morning to express to Brother Brad and the choir what a blessing this was to you this morning, and thank the Lord for this.